Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very excited to introduce our special guest for the day, Ruben Izgilov. Ruben, welcome to the show.
Suja, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to learn all about what you do with WeLend, the firm that you're with, and just also learn about you and your background and how you got to where you are. So why don't you start us off by helping us understand how and why you got into real estate in the first place?
Well, I don't know how far you want me to go back, but I'll try to go as far as I can without boring everyone here. We immigrated to the US in the 90s. I was right around 6 years old, went straight into the Department of Education system, you know, elementary school, junior high school, and so on. You know, it didn't really work out well for me. I thought that school, you know, I was one of those kids that I thought school is just not for me. I ultimately, you know, regretfully dropped out of high school and, you know, went straight into business, but eventually did return back to, you know, get my GED, ended up going to getting my bachelor's at St. John's University here in Queens, New York, and then ultimately actually going to law school and graduating top of my class. So,
oh, wow, what says, a turnaround.
Whoever says school is not for me and, you know, I can do things the other way, it's school is for everyone. I think it's definitely a turning point in my life that kind of got me to where I am. But nevertheless, I got exposed to real estate at a very, very young age. One of my cousins, who was, you know, kind of immigrated from Israel at the time, was door knocking and buying distressed properties in New York. And the one time he just had this brilliant idea, I was about 13, 14 years old. He said, you know what, why don't you come with me door knocking? You know, I think you'll have a much better open rate than I do, you know, obviously being 13 years old, you know, and as soon as the door is open, I'll just kind of approach and make my pitch. And it was a summer gig for me for about 2 months or so. And we did pretty well. You know, it definitely worked. You know, when a 13-year-old, you know, knocks on your door, you're definitely going to open up the door versus a 40-year-old trying to knock on your door. And I got exposed to real estate that way. I kind of saw what he was doing, how he was doing it. I saw, you know, he obviously made sure that I was paid on a few deals. And I got that taste of money where I was like, all right, I think I was like in eighth grade or something like that, or seventh grade. I was like, all right, this is definitely the place that I want to go and the things that I want to do. You know, fast forward a little bit, I then became a loan officer back during a wild, wild west. This was like in 2007, 2008, you know, doing, you know, being a mortgage loan officer at that time was amazing, especially being at my age. And, you know, obviously the market crashed, things turned around, definitely got kind of the taste of that. And that's when I decided to go back to school, got my GED, you know, went to St. John's, like I mentioned before, went straight to law school thinking that I'm going to be the best attorney in the world. And shortly after law school, I realized that law is not for me. This is after going to law school, after taking the bar, I realized that I don't want to be an attorney. So I kind of pivoted my way out and I went back into real estate. Well, let me kind of, actually, I did forget to mention that while in St. John's and while in law school, I was also buying, selling, flipping, developing real estate. And, you know, that's what we ended up doing. We ended up going back into real estate, buying, selling, flipping, developing. And in a nutshell, I did decide to go to a private lender's event to find a cheaper source of capital for my own loans as well.
Then what? So, money?
You mean, yes, to a private lender's event. Exactly. Okay. I went to a private lender's event to find a cheaper source of capital for my own deals that we were buying, selling, flipping, developing. And we went in as a private lender, private investor rather at that time, and we walked out as a private lender. That was right around 2018. And ever since then, we never looked back. Since then, we funded right around $400 million in loans, right around 1,000 different loans, seen over 4,000 loan applications. And we're doing amazing and we're super excited to see what the future has in hold for us.
Okay, interesting. So let me make sure I got that straight. So you went to the private lender event because you wanted to find a less expensive source of capital to do flipping.
Exactly.
Okay.
At that time, I think we were paying right around 13, 14% for our own private loans that we were actually taking on from private lenders. And we felt like there's definitely going to be a cheaper way to find, you know, to finance our deals. And luckily, we went to this private lenders event where we met many other private equity firms and, you know, private lenders that kind of exposed us to the space.
Okay. And so then they were, I don't know if this you can say, are they were willing to take more like 10%, or is that right? Or
yeah, we actually were able to find, you know, capital somewhere in the, I would say 7 or 8% range at that time. I mean, obviously with the Fed rate hikes recently, that has changed tremendously. But nevertheless, it definitely gave us the opportunity to buy more real estate because we were a bit more competitive now. But it also exposed us to the space where we started funding our own loans to many of our competitors that we were kind of competing against when we were buying properties. So we reached out to them and said, look, you know, we're still in the space, but we're also kind of allocating, you know, some funds towards funding some of your loans. And if you're interested, these are the terms, these are the rates, and this is what we want to do for you.
Yeah.
And thankfully they trusted us and, you know, we were able to grow that vertical.
Okay. So you decided, oh, maybe this lending thing is pretty cool. Maybe we should do this instead and use our, and maybe diversify, but you're still,
exactly.
You're still flipping and developing. Is that right? Or
yeah. Yeah. So my brother, you know, he's kind of like semi-retired just to keep himself busy. He's buying, you know, residential properties in New Jersey predominantly, and flipping them. He's found a lot of success with that. So although my focus and full-time energy is in the private lending space, my brother is still buying and flipping as well.
Okay, great. So I think this is a good time to just tell us, you know, kind of what you do with WeLend. That's your private lending company, right?
Yeah. So I'm the managing partner. You know, WeLend is a private lender specifically for private investors on the real estate acquisitions of their real estate investments. We predominantly finance up to 90% of the purchase, 100% of the construction. You know, I would say majority of our loans today are made to experienced institutional grade borrowers. You know, 693 FICO is really our average today. And most of our borrowers, I would say a good 89% of them are experienced operators with a significant track record.
Okay. So are you looking for both capital and operators right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So we are always, you know, onboarding limited partners. We are currently raising capital for our debt fund. That is something that we're actively doing. And we're also lending money. So one arm is asking for money, the other arm is lending money.
Yeah. Sure.
So we're always onboarding limited partners.
Okay. And so why a debt fund? Because I mean, I think a lot of people are more are familiar with like, okay, I'm going to lend money to this particular, you know, guy who's flipping a house and the house gets collateralized and, you know, I feel comfortable with a 6-month term or whatnot. So tell us about the fund. And like, why someone want to do that? Obviously, there's going to be some diversification, but I'd like to hear your take.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, there's a lot of investors out there who are just looking for that mail check money, right? Mm-hmm. They're always looking for that kind of annuity that could kind of give them consistent cash flows and want to invest into real estate passively. Because, I mean, you probably know this better than anyone. Being an active investor, many people say that it's passive, but it's not. You know, you always have to have the hammer, you know, on your right beside you. You always have to be ready to be on call and doing, you know, visiting properties late at night to fix something or what have you. You know, although everyone says it's passive, it's not. Being a real estate landlord and investor, you know, it's not real mail check money. But being a LP in a debt fund, you have the ability to actually have real mail check money because you are investing into real estate, but you're just in a much safer position of the capital stack with yields of anywhere between 10 to 14% on an annual basis.
Okay. And is it all kind of like the 10 to 14% is that a consistent amount or does it dependent on deal performance at all? Or is it not equity? So it's obvious. Is it a fixed rate?
Yeah. So we do offer our investors a 7% preferred return with a 60-40 split above the pref. And it all really just depends on, you know, the fund performance, you know, depends on the frequency of our loan sales, our warehouse facility, and also the market conditions. I mean, you see what's happening today. Rates are on the rise. Our cost of capital is on the rise, but so are our borrowers' cost of capital. So it's just a matter of finding that median and that common ground to be able to hit the returns of, again, anywhere between 10 to 14%. And that's why we always offer that range just to give us that extra cushion that we need in the event of, any kind of market volatility.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Okay. And what kind of borrowers are you looking for?
So most of what we're looking for today are just experienced operators. These are fix and flippers buying, you know, the value add type of properties in the sense of like auction properties, foreclosures. These are physically or financially distressed properties where they're repositioning them and then usually flipping them.
Okay. And how do you evaluate the risk to investors who are wanting to invest in this debt fund? Like, I mean, how do you vet your operators?
Yeah. So that's an amazing question. I mean, look, I think today underwriting is more important than ever, right? It's not a matter of making sure that you can foreclose on a property. It's a matter of preventing a foreclosure. I think that's really the mitigating tool. And underwriting for us is a very big emphasis on every single loan. Today, there's a number of things that we're doing. One, we're looking at a borrower's track record, and we're really hyper-focused on that. We want to work with borrowers that have a significant track record, because with a borrower who has a significant track record, he has a number of options in the event that there's any market volatility. They can always refinance, or they have the liquidity to be able to pay our loan off. In addition to that, we're also reducing the amount of our exposure. So normally we would go up to 90% of the purchase. Recently, we've been kind of reducing that to anywhere between 80 or 85% of the purchase price, thereby having the borrower with more skin in the game. The average after repair value today for each and every one of our properties is right around 57%. So assuming that the property is going to be worth about $1 million after the renovations are completed, the maximum exposure in that property for us is going to be right around $570,000, which means that we always have about $430,000 in equity for us to be able to secure our principal and our investment.
Okay. Okay. And do you usually like lend money out to the same borrowers? How big is your borrower pool?
Great question. I mean, look, today, I would say a good 63% of our borrowers are returning borrowers. And we prefer that because it enables us to kind of see their track record. We already have loans that have already been repaid with them, but we also may have a number of active loans with them. So we have the ability to cross collateralize against any of their current assets so that in the event that they default on one, they essentially and unfortunately default on the others.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think that's it's great to have repeat borrowers. Okay. So tell us, I want to talk a bit about the tax implications of this particular, I mean, it's going to be different, right? When you're a direct owner in real estate, there's certain tax benefits. Can you talk about the differences that investor might see, you know, in a debt fund versus a syndication?
Well, look, I think in a syndication, the number one benefit is the fact that you have depreciation. And that just kind of helps you tremendously. So there's no doubt about that. Here, however, there is no depreciation on our end. It is just interest income that they're receiving. It is a K-1 that they're receiving. Many of our investors today are currently considering investing through their self-directed IRA, which gives them the flexibility and the benefits towards their tax advantages. But unfortunately, you know, being an investor in a debt fund, there are no depreciation benefits. The benefits that you do have is that you're just in a much safer part and position of the capital stack than you would be in a syndication.
Right.
You know, I always use the example of, you know, the deal that we've done many years back in the Bronx, where I bought a single unit property with a friend of mine who was trying to enter into real estate at the time. And, you know, we actually ended up losing about $60,000 on that deal. But the only person who did not lose money on that deal was my private lender. Mm-hmm. You know, after him putting the loan on his warehouse facility or what have you, he netted about, I would say, anywhere between 15 to 18% on his money.
Oh, wow.
Whereas we lost about $60,000. So the only person that didn't lose money on that deal was the private lender, and the private investors who were us definitely lost money.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, we're bringing up some important points here, which is that, like, there's got to be some diversification, right? So maybe there is a portion of your portfolio where you are getting the tax benefits, but then there's also a part where you're in a more secure position relative to, you know, an equity position, like you were just saying. So I think there's definitely a place for it. Can you, for a moment, just dive into like the self-directed IRA or investing through your IRA and how, like, it sounds like, I know that there's some intricacies about how that is beneficial, or there's less consequences, I think, with debt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I'm not, you know, a CPA or anything to that effect. However, I think, you know, the benefits of a self-directed IRA is that your tax obligations are deferred, you know, depending on when you're withdrawing. I think every penny that you're receiving, you're able to benefit from that without having to pay any taxes till, I believe, the age of 58 or 62 years old. Again, depending on when you withdraw. So the huge benefit there is the fact that there are no tax obligations for whatever income or interest you're deriving from it.
Okay. Okay, great. So when you think about like a investor's portfolio, where do you see the debt funds? I mean, I know everyone's going to have a different situation, but who do you think like the ideal investor is for a debt fund?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a number of them. I think the number one key is just that really entrepreneur, business owner who is occupied, whether it's a doctor or an attorney who's very occupied, they're bogged down to their office. They don't really have the ability or the time to find good deals or the ability to actually manage those properties that they're buying. So it's really just the entrepreneur, the business owner, you know, who has the liquidity to be able to put the money to play and who's looking for an annuity on you know, monthly or annual basis. I think that's really the ideal investor. The other one I think is really just the active investor who may have too much liquidity that they're sitting on. I think, you know, recently I was just at a networking event and I saw one of our most active investors and borrowers. And I asked him, I said, look, I haven't heard from you in a long time. Why aren't you borrowing? What's going on? What's happening? And his response to me was that, Ruben, you know, I'm afraid of investing into deals today. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what will happen. So I'm sitting on the sidelines, you know, and he had about $3 million in liquidity.
Wow.
And my first thing, you know, that I offered to him is, why don't you put money into our debt fund and, you know, be able to earn some interest on it. And I think, you know, for an investor like that, who's just sitting on dry powder, who is sitting on the sidelines, they can't find the good deals. I think it makes sense for them to put the money in with us temporarily.
And to that point, so is there a liquidity, like at what point can borrowers withdraw their funds? Is it like a 12-month lockup period?
Exactly. So the nature of our loans, and fundamentally, I mean, every single loan that we make is a 12-month term. So, you know, that's why we have every single investor lock up their investment for a period of 12 months. However, we're always raising capital. We're always selling loans. We're always putting them on a warehouse facility. And loans are always constantly being paid off. So we have the ability, with an investor giving us, you know, 90 to 120 day notice, to be able to redeem the investor's money and be able to reinstate them for that purpose.
Okay. Before the 12-month lockup period or after?
Exactly. Before.
Oh, okay.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah. So that gives a lot of flexibility to people for sure. And I was wondering, you know, you've been in this space for a while. So is there anything that investors should be aware of about current trends?
I think that, look, there's a lot of volatility that may be coming very soon. I think that it's very important that, you know, you, as I think a lot of your investors today, they're passive investors, or rather your listeners today, they're passive investors. I think it's very important that you put your money into a very safe investment, you know, or with operators who are super experienced. I think those two factors are very important. I think that, you know, in a syndication, you are safe with, you know, depending on the operator. But I think that you're a lot more safer if you were to put the money into a debt fund because of the position in the capital stack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Ruben, all about, you know, the private debt fund and what you're seeing in the space. Yeah. I guess as we start to wrap up, would you just share anything with the listeners, how to learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Yeah, they could visit us on any one of our social media platforms. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on LinkedIn. Our handle is WeLend LLC. They could also always email me at Ruben@WeLendLLC.com.
Awesome. Well, I definitely hope you check out Ruben's platform, WeLend LLC. Thank you so much, Ruben, for coming on the show and helping us learn more about this particular alternative investment class, and really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.